Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you very much for this wonderful day, Lord, that you have given unto us. We thank you, Lord, for sound sleep you gave to us through the night to sleep, rest our bodies, wake up strong, and come to church in expectation. We thank you for last week, your protection, your blessings, your healings, your provisions, your mercies, and all that you have done for us. We are grateful unto you. Thank you for joining mercies for all that travel both far and near. We are grateful and we are thankful to you. May your name be glorified. Thank you, dear God, for bringing us to church this morning. We thank you for the blessing we have received in the Sunday school. Lord Jesus, we are in greater expectation, which we know, O God, that you have your blessings, O God, in abundance for us today. We pray, Lord, that we give unto each and every one of us an hearing ear, understanding heart, and grace, Lord, to check our life and to follow your directives, O Father. We ask for strength for your servants, for inspiration, for anointing, for unction of your Spirit. Lord, release unto us in abundance today that we might be filled to the overflow. Lord, we want to ask, O God of heaven, that the sick and the afflicted, you will heal and perfect their health. Lord, the weak, you will strengthen them. The seekers of the Holy Ghost, may they receive. May the saints be taken to higher heights. Lord, we want to commit into your hand everywhere the saints are gathered this morning. Lord, we ask that your presence will be with them. Lord, your servants that have traveled from here, a pastor in the U.S., Lord, thank you for taking him there safely and for being with him since he has arrived. We pray, O God, that you will be his strength, his protection, give him good health. Lord, just help him in all that he needs your help for, Lord. Every time he has the privilege to stand to speak to your people, Lord, as you normally make use of him gloriously here, may you make use of him in that place also, to the glory and the honor of your name. Let him be their father. O God, we just ask, O God, that the home and the church has left behind, may you watch over us, dear Father. Master Jesus, your servants, O God, who have traveled also, Lord, one of them to Abeokuta, one to Bakatari, one to Ogidi in Onitsha in Anambra State, we pray that your presence will be with them, Father. Lord, make use of them as a great channel of blessing to your people. When they will be returning back, may you bring them back safely. Thank you, dear Father. Lord, your servant that is here with us, the home and the church has left behind, we pray that you watch over them. May you bless them here also. Lord, this morning as you are blessing us here, may you bless them there, Lord God. Thank you, dear Father. Master Jesus, we remember Israel this morning. Lord, that Lord the enemy had just struck them yesterday, and Lord, they have also started to retaliate. Dear Master Jesus, that is the apple of your eyes, and that is your firstborn according to your word. Lord, you spoke to Pharaoh at that time to let your firstborn go, otherwise you will kill his own firstborn. As these ones, O God, this enemy have, O God, attacked your chosen people. Dear Father, may you stand for them. Your word says we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Say they shall prosper that love thee. We love Jerusalem, we love Israel, because they are your chosen, they are your people. Lord, be an enemy to their enemies. Be an adversary to their adversaries. Oh God, may they possess the gate of their enemy, Father. Lord, the weapon of the enemy, render them useless, Heavenly Father. Let it be their Father. Bless us today, oh God. May your name be glorified. When these services of today will come to an end, may each one of us have something tangible to take home with us, O Father, to know that you have been gracious unto us. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. You can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to church this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And we are aware that the pastor have traveled to U.S. on Wednesday. He arrived there safely and we chatted till this morning. He sent his greetings to everyone and appreciating our prayers, he requests for our constant prayers for him. Pass his prayer. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Oh, here we find he's not too busy. Cheer your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your name still supplies. So reach out and touch the Lord as he goes. I reach out and touch the Lord. I reach out and touch the Lord as he passed. I have found it's not too busy. Oh, I have found it's not too busy to hear my heart. Oh, he by this, all my needs to supply.
Let's pray one more time. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to appreciate you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you have granted unto us again to our fellowship around your word. Lord, we commit once again your word that you come to break the bread of life to us. Help us, O God. Any man with understanding truly may be able to read the scriptures and pass out some few comments. The Lord, the true inspiration and revelation coming from above. We pray may you bless the word and bless it to our heart, inspire it to our heart, help us to be the true doers and not just the hearers only. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Before we take our seats, let's just read the scripture so we can sit all at once. Exodus chapter 20. From verse 1, and God speak all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God bless you. You can please be seated. God bless you. Amen. We thank the Lord this morning. I want to use this opportunity to greet the church and for this wonderful opportunity again to be in your midst. Hallelujah. It's been a little while since I think convention also, but we thank the Lord for making it possible for our paths to cross again. Like Reverend just said, we actually attended the burial at Ikene. So just deem it fit to come around to greet the church, to greet the pastor and other ministers. Hallelujah. And for they have been of great support even to us back at home over there in Benin. I want to appreciate the pastor. Though he's not around now, but I also want to appreciate him in his absence for the opportunity to speak to the saints here. Hallelujah. I want to also appreciate Reverend Reverend Sam for he has been of help, honestly, back at home and the entire church for your prayers, especially during when we lost our pastor, when our pastor went to be with the Lord. I know you are all praying for us, and the Lord truly helped us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to officially thank you for your secret prayers and public prayers. You know, that little girl that wanted to wave his flag to the king. You see, she waved her flag, but she came home very sad. And they asked her, why are you so sad? Is it that you didn't see the king? She said, I saw the king. So is it that you didn't get the opportunity to wave your flag? She said, I did. So why are you sad and why are you crying? And she said, I waved my flag, I saw the king. He said, but the king didn't see me. See that? But we have a king, hallelujah, that no matter how little your contribution is, contribution financially, contribution in prayers, contribution in encouragement, he sees it. And he will reward accordingly. You know, reward is far different from a pay or a salary. You know, when you are to work for somebody and what people agreed on is to pay you 100,000 at the end of the month or at the end of the labor. If at the end of the labor it gives you that money, that was what you agreed on. That was your pay, which approximates your work. Is that right? But a reward is given to you and it surpasses even your work. That's why it's called reward. It's not equal to your work. It's more than your work. So I pray God reward you for all the little efforts. God bless you. I want to also do the other ministers are not here. We saw Reverend Adewumi at the burial and our Papa, Papa Ayo Babalola. Also, so they also gave their support and all that. I want to also appreciate Reverend Femi. God bless you for this opportunity. I bring greetings from home, from the family, the wife, the children, and the entire church. Hallelujah. May the good Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll just continue. Maybe if there's any other thing I remember, we just commit. So we read the scripture and we introduced in the during the Sunday school, we introduced this topic. Just to give a background, that was why we just took it a little bit in the Sunday school manner, and I still want to go in that pace, the Lord willing, and we want to speak about this spirit that started the ball of sin rolling before the beginning. And what was that sin? It was the sin of covetousness. If you don't mind, you can flash Isaiah 14 one more time for us from verse 12. Let's look inwardly. Look at ourselves. Brother Branson, when you come to church, we come to examine ourselves. You come to check. I come to check. I'm here just to speak the way the Lord has laid it just in my heart, and I trust it to be of a blessing. Hallelujah. Because when we know where we are lacking behind and probably where we lack, then we know how to make amendments. We do some check and balances and know how to balance our lives. And the scripture we read before, Isaiah 14, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So in the Sunday school, we are trying to talk about covetousness and idolatry. So we are going to bring them together now and see why this is this and why this one is the other one. While we talk about covetousness, we talk about the idolatry in that covetousness as we proceed. So on one hand, we said covetousness is the inordinate desire for the possession of something. It could be wealth, it could be anything. You see, a poor man can be covetous. a rich man can be covetous. So it has nothing to do with your status. It's the spirit we are addressing. Brother Abraham said, he preached one time and somebody said he called me a vulture. You see, Brother Abraham did not point his finger to that person and say vulture. But what actually happened is that the lady identified a character in the preaching. And the other one said, but he called me an eagle. Hallelujah. So no offense. Praise God. Amen. It's a spirit. What was the eagle? Didn't point at any of them, but they were nice enough, for me that language, to identify themselves with what the prophet of God was saying. So, but even though your character is wrong, it's not over yet. That's why there's an avenue to say, Lord, I find myself guilty about this thing. Lord, change my nature. I want to be right. Rabbi said, you pray, say, oh, I don't want this thing in me. And most of the time, it's a spirit that you yourself, you don't want, but you don't have power over it. That is why it is called torment. It is called bondage. It is called captivity. But the word of God is here to set every captive free. So the God's word is not here to just condemn you without showing you the way out. Hallelujah. I don't believe in that. I believe when the word of God comes in any way, it should show you how to get out of this thing. Praise God. Amen. Oh yes, I've been wrong. I've been doing this. So what is the hope? What is our hope? What is the way out? Amen. Then the word of that same word of God will show you the way out. And once he doesn't get to that spot, it's not different from the law. Because Brother Abraham said the law is only a schoolmaster. It shows you your sin. It makes it very plain to you that you are a sinner. But it doesn't show you the way out. So at times we preach law in grace, not knowing. Because for you to be a true grace message, you should be able to rebuke and tell the people, but show them the way out, which is the cross. God bless you. Alright. He said, how had thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And we also said during the Sunday school, just to give us a little recap, that we are the re-image, you see, the New Testament brethren. From, you know, when I say New Testament, we are included. You see, we were the image, the true image that cast that shadow on the Old Testament. Because Brother Bram says the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. He says, so if I want to know how an outcome will be, he said, I go to the Old Testament. He said, I take my scripture from there and build it to the new. You see, you are to show to us that this is the end of anything, anytime you find. So we're going to trace it and trace it to the individual, trace it to church, trace it to organizations, if the time will permit us. And after that, we also spoke about an idol. Abraham said, whatever it may be that you put before God is an idol. He said, some worship movie stars for idols. Now, when Brother Abraham is saying they worship movie stars, it doesn't mean they bow down at their feet. It doesn't mean, no, they put their picture in the house and bow to it. You see, the movie star have such an influence on them that even though it is contrary to the word of God, they don't care. That is worship. So we must understand what worship is as we proceed. Brother Abraham said, to believe Satan's lie is to worship Satan. So we are going to narrow it down. To believe Satan's lie is to worship Satan. What happened in the garden was the worship of Satan. He said, the day you eat, that day you die. Are we there, church? So just be at Allah, don't sleep. Amen. Don't let the devil cheat you. If at all he's coming, just, you know, Brother said, just shake yourself. Hallelujah. You see, when you are active, sleep will not come. So I don't want you to miss this. So Brother said, to worship the devil is to what? Believe the devil's lie. Even though you want to call him Jehovah, that is why every true servant of God, every true prophet, every true apostle, every true fivefold, whether you are a pastor of a church or not, you are mindful of the words you say. Because when you preach anything contrary to the word, when the people believe it, that is equal to the worship of Satan. And that is why we are very careful in Malachi 4 to say only what the messenger has said is interpretation. We don't know the way. I don't know the way. But God has entrusted, amen, this thing in the hands of a man called William Marion Braham. We are all there to follow suit. We should follow in line. Stay in line. Don't build your own organization, which is equal to idolatry. Now we'll read the quote as we go. The seal of the Antichrist. Tape number 550311. Brother, that's paragraph 17. If you will notice, just about the time that Jesus came on the scene, Judas came on the scene. The Antichrist. The one was against Christ. I want you to notice the natures of these spirits now. Judas was a religious man. He was not an infidel. And all of us know that he was the Antichrist. He walked the very closest hand to Christ. Amen? His right hand man. Who? Judas. The very closest. I'm not going to hurry over any quote. Take it. The very closest. But he was the Antichrist. Do you know that in heaven that the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? Amen? Right-hand man. But Abraham said, he said apart from creation, he had all powers to do. Let's read the quotes. Now, he said that Lucifer, the son of the morning, was given what? Power. And the reason that he brought sin into the world, he was able to take something that God had created and pervert it back into an evil thing. We started all this trouble in the beginning. Then God, back before the foundation of the world was ever laid, when he seen what Satan done, in his pride, Satan, in his pride, follow me now, went over in the north. Why the north? Why the north? Went over in the north and set up a kingdom. Why the north? Because the kingdom of God was in, the throne of God was in the north. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. Is that right? The joy of the whole head is Mount Zion, side of the north, city of the great king. So, where was the kingdom? The north. Are we there? The city, the kingdom, the throne, the north. Now, you got it there. God bless you. Okay, all right. Now, he said he went. That quote again, I need a quote. All right. Pride went over in the north and set up a kingdom. And fought against Michael and his what? Angel. Do you see it? The right hand man of Almighty God was Lucifer. Follow. The son of the morning. These are adjectives to qualify who this man was. Who this fellow was. The what? The son of the morning. The first. Brother. The first. God granted him almost co-workers with him. He was a co-worker, partly equal with him. You don't understand who this man we are talking about is. Brother, thank God, Brother Abraham is using his own words to describe him. So I'm not using my words here. Co-worker, almost co-equal, partly. He said, partly equal. With him, only Satan could not what? Create. That is why he was partly equal. He was not altogether equal. Because this thing was taken from him. Hallelujah. So the man we want to reveal this money and the spirit of that man is not something that you just say Satan cannot do me anything. Amen. You can't fight Satan in this flesh. You need something greater than flesh to fight Satan. It will mess you up. The first man and woman in the garden messed them up. Yes, it's like a hard truth, but the truth. He messed it up. He used his intelligence and confused the woman. The woman fell. Partly equal with God. Only in creation. And that is why when you are walking under somebody, amen, and the man has taken you so much to, I mean, has taken you so close to himself to know so much, don't you think most of the time that you know all? Because he has made you know so much doesn't mean you know all. There's brain and there's the nucleus of every business, of every trade that you don't know. Oh, praise God. Are we good, church? God is the only creator, but Satan took something. Hallelujah. Satan took something that God created and perverted it back into something that's evil. And now notice, when Cain and Abel, a very beautiful picture of it, Cain and Abel was nothing more than the prefigure of Judas and Jesus. So what did you take from this as we go on? He wanted to be worshipped. I'm going to read it in the last code as we go. Just follow me, please. I need you to give me your attention. So he went to the north. Why the north? He should have gone to south. Go and build your kingdom in another place. Why the very domain and territory of God? Because the intention is to overthrow. That throne is what I want, that exact throne. You don't want to go and build your own. You have not, you have been taking so close. You know everything. Fine, you go and establish your own. No, sir. The very throne, the very act. You want to unseat your maker. Covetousness. That is what we call what? Covetousness. What was the intention? To be worshipped. Idolatry. He said, I will be like the most high. You see? He wants to be worshipped. I'll be above the stars of God. Then he envied the position of his maker until he thought to overthrow the very throne. Oh man! Oh, let me just let the code speak for itself. Separation from unbelief. 55-0228. Then you tell the people of the whole America, of a whole in America. Oh man! Paragraph 25. They are well fed and poor and they don't have to worry about anything. They got all the money they want and thousands and millions of dollars making yearly and fine cars, big summer homes and places and everything. They don't have to worry. What's religion to them? Just a place to sit around, some place to say, well, I belong to church, and they will find the highest and the most practical church that they can go to. And do you know that's the very sign of Satan? I hope we don't get rough about it. Even Brother Brown said, I hope we don't get rough about it. Separation from unbelief. Couldn't get it? But remember, in heaven, what made Lucifer jealous? He goes over in the north and puts him up a better kingdom. He wanted a bigger kingdom. Better kingdom? Bigger kingdom? Are you the church? Oh, may God help us. Better kingdom? Bigger kingdom? More brighter? Brighter? Better? Prettier? The devil always works in beauty. Sure, he does. That's the reason Cain offered what he did for his offering. But there was no beauty in Abel bringing his lamb. But Abel had a spiritual revelation from God. That's what God would be pleased with. And as we have said, only through spiritual revelation can you ever know God. You will never know him by knowledge. Hallelujah. You will never know him by knowledge. Cain or Lucifer wanted a better kingdom, a bigger kingdom, a prettier kingdom than that of Michael. What do you say, Michael? Of course, we are well taught. Michael is the angelic form of Jesus Christ. A better one. Now, what is the intention? He got jealous. He got envious. And he wanted to overtake. What was the intention? To build a better kingdom. A brighter one. A prettier one. So when you are telling God to give you anything, you are praying for God. What is the intention? Robert said, I tell you, you have to tell God, if you do this for me, this is what I will do. Why do you want God to do it for you? Why? 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 Nothing wrong in asking for good things and wonderful things, but why? Are we there, church? Oh, I want this car. Why? Oh, everybody's buying car. I'm the only one that is just checking. This thing is not good. Is that a good intention? Amen. Is that a good motive? Everybody will be thinking that I'm the only one that is suffering. Everybody's quiet. Oh, mercy, goodness. Wow. Help, Pastor. Amen. Praise God, amen. Please, sorry, I'm just preaching the way the Lord lays it in my heart. Hallelujah. Why? Why? What's the intention? What's the intention? It's good to ask good things. Or you want to buy it so that you use it to make God. God. And to oppress. So that when you are driving and you just see water, just pray water in people's body. I say, why didn't you leave the road? Leave the road. Clear road for me. Intentions. Intentions. What is the intentions? The Bible said that a woman came to Jesus and anointed his feet with that costly ointment. Costly ointment. To anoint his feet. And a man said, why is this ointment wasted? Who is that man? God bless you. He said, we should have, you know, sold these things and give it to what? The poor, the Bible said. But he said it, not because. Did he say that thing in his mouth? Get me? That thing the Bible said, that he said it not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Did you see anybody? The Bible brought his intentions. The Bible told us this is, because the Bible is a spiritual book. The Bible is the one that revealed his intentions. That was when we knew that Judas was a thief. He has been making way with the church treasury. So the intention is to gather more money and present to the board that, you know, there are widows in the church. We have to take care of the widows. Widows, their husband died, they don't have anything, they are not having job. It's good. It's not a good statement. But the intention is to present it in the name of the widows so that once the money is released, you corner something. Intentions. So that is, you can see why I quoted in the Sunday school, when I was saying that God said, I look at the heart, not the face. People can be smooth talker,
They can even market a scripture, smooth talker. But their very intention, only God can know. And that's what we are dealing with. Because intention is what brings idolatry. Amen and amen. Adoption. Chapter number 60518. Adoption, part 2. 60518, paragraph 84. Now, that's what it means, friend. That's what the vision or translation, whatever a vision. I will say vision because I'm afraid that would hurt somebody to say translation. That's what that was. Now there's when God, what God did to bring sons and daughters to him. Now who are these people? What did these people do to merit this? How did they ever do it? God at the beginning before an angel. Was ever made. How many knows is infinite? If he isn't, he isn't God. So God in his infinite mercy, he saw that Lucifer would do that. If he created this. God, don't tell me what Lucifer did to God unawares. He's an infinite God. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Is that right? So he knows everything. He put them onto a free moral agency. That basis. And you are still there. That's right. The tree of right and wrong set before every one of us. You make your choice. And Lucifer was the first one to take the wrong road. And he began to draw after him, Ogish, trying to take all for himself. Try to override somebody else. And that's where it started. Now listen to this. That's where sin began. Amen? Somebody tried to override somebody else. Tried to suppress somebody else. Tried to silence somebody with the intention to be recognized alone. In his infinite mind, I saw that and saw the only way. Alright. Now, as we go on a little bit, I just want to take some of these quotes so that in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. We'll read some scriptures later on as I'm looking at your time. Paragraph 540. Robert said, now listen to this. Now is the great thing. Now is where we want to watch. Remember, in the last days, we exactly go back and vindicate the first day. Adam and Eve, husband and wife, no sin, life. Then the four. Notice closely. Paragraph 541. Notice, what caused it? Lucifer is doing now as he did at the first time. Very good. We have spoken about what happened in heaven before the beginning. We are bringing it home now. And Brother Abraham is saying that's exactly the same thing that Lucifer is doing now. What is it? Just as the kingdom of the Gentiles was brought in with King Nebuchadnezzar, vindicated the Gentile race by a prophet who could interpret or not tongues, visions, dreams, and it's come down through the Gentiles without anything. Just Medo-Persia and iron and so forth. And in the fifth, it goes out the same way again, the Gentile kingdom. Notice Lucifer, in the last days, is doing as he did at first. What did he do? The first thing that Lucifer done to separate the fellowship of God and man. He wanted to build him a united kingdom. Amen? A greater splendor and seemingly more cultured. A greater kingdom than Michael Christ had. You got that? Congregation says amen. Now, if you miss it, just hold up your hand. I will say it again. Because he doesn't want you to miss that. Amen? He said he wanted a united kingdom. A greater splendor. Seemingly more cultured. Oh, these people that are just old school. They are old school. We need to do something, you know, social. Social. But Abraham said, be social. He said, but don't take up the habit of the world. What we see today, many people on the pulpit, especially, is nothing but social gospel. Social gospel. Just preach, let them shout, and say amen. Very good, nothing wrong about that. But when it comes to addressing and putting things in order, you say, I don't want the feelings of the people to be hurt. Any feelings that want to be hurt by the word of God should be hurt. Amen? Because Brother Brown said, we have two great spirits, greatest battle ever fought. Can you give me that quote? Greatest battle ever fought. Oh my. Greatest battle ever fought. Paragraph 52. There's a battle going on, and it started in heaven, and it's not a battle of men. And what is that battle? Satan wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped. Not only that, he has pressed that spirit in man. The spirit of worship, the spirit of covetousness, to be recognized. Hallelujah. If it is not you, nobody else should have that thing. Hallelujah. If it's not you, nobody else should marry that girl. Selfishness. Selfishness. Hallelujah. Somebody get married, they're not happy for them. Oh, it's the girl that I wanted to marry. Who says so? Who says so? Hallelujah. You don't have the Brother Brown said, listen, sisters, because what we have these days is secret courtship going on. And that is why when they defy themselves, they cannot raise up their mouth to come and tell the pastor. In the first place, because you have finished work already. Don't finish work. You have seen each other. You have seen what you're supposed to see in marriage. They have finished everything. That is why they come and meet pastor. Pastor, I just saw a sister in the church. I don't know. Ask the sister. Hypocrite! Hypocrite! Ask the sister. You know, the Bible said and the ritual said, don't enter into it unadvisedly, but in the fear of the Lord. But you have finished everything now. You are finished everything. What are you coming for advice for? The only thing we should just ask you, what stage are you now? What stage are you? Have you engaged? What stage are you? Hypocrite! Most of the time, these things are done because, you want to quickly lock in. Selfishness. Selfishness. You don't know you can be selfish with the kind of woman you want to marry. Rabbi said, if you really love her, you want her to be in a better place where she'll be well taken care of. Can you take care of her? I'm not saying you must be rich, but you must have some level of responsibility. In the message, this marriage message, choosing of a bride. But Abraham asked the boy, do you have work? You think it's a kind of question. What do you do? He said, this was, how much do you earn? That Brother Abraham asked him. Oh, can I hear amen? Go to your prophet. Yes. Nobody said you should be a billionaire. That's not what I'm saying. Can you make her a living? It's question. It's question. One pastor, why is pastor asking me that kind of a question? He should know. He doesn't know. That's what he's asking you. He said, this is what I do, but I will do all my best. Yes. Now you are talking. What I have may not be, but I will do all my brother said, I investigated him. He said, when I talked to both of them, I found out that they really love one another. Because it is love that will drive you to make sure that your wife eats something. You don't tie up in the house and your wife tells you, there's no food in the house. Do I kill myself? Can't you see that I don't have a job? Go out! I graduated with a first class. Go and split wood. You don't have a job, you must make a living. Make a living. You're waiting for somebody to call you. Sorry, that's a digression, but that's the word. Somebody to just call you and amen and amen. You are thinking that as you are sitting in your parlor now, let God just rain $2 million on your lap. Lazy man mentality. Lazy man. You say, and when somebody tell you, don't do that, say, don't you believe miracle? Don't you believe, you are talking like who does not have faith. My brother, go and walk. Who does not have faith? Go and walk. God meets you in the line of your walk. He told Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He needs you to hold something for it to multiply. Oh, praise God. Before he multiplied thousands of fishes, there was fish and bread. He didn't create it from emptiness. He created it from something. Go and be doing something. Let God meet you in that place. Amen. Greatest battle ever fought. Paragraph 52, you got it. Now, do you know we have had wars after wars and rumors of wars? And if the earth stands, we will have plenty more wars.
Like the pastor, like the pastor was saying this morning.
That's war. And Robert said, if the war stands, we have plenty. But do you realize that there is really only two powers in all the universe? That's all, two powers. You are not a power. You are influenced by a power.
We are going to see. Talking about covetousness.
You are not a, oh my, something, a spirit is what is motivating you in anything you do. Only two powers. Only two kingdoms. Baba said, do you realize only that there are only two powers in the universe? He said, of all our differences between nations and differences between each other, between husbands and wives, between pastor and the church, between a sister and a sister, between a brother and a brother, all differences and everything, it all mounts up to two powers.
Let me tell you, there's no middle line. If you have a difference between a brother and a brother, it's either A is wrong, B is right, or B is right, or B is right, A is wrong, or both of them are wrong. Both of them can never be right and have differences. These days, you know what is running in the world? My truth and your truth. Oh my, Satan has invaded this world. They say, when you say something, they say, well, I understand what you are saying. That may be your truth, but I differ. Let me tell you my own truth. And when he says it, so, when he says, okay, well, fine, that's your truth. This is my truth. You can't have two truths. They say that you may have your truth. I have my truth, but there's a consistent truth. Oh my, grandma. Grandma. Oh my. Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? There's only one truth, and that is God. One truth. So when there's a difference or differences between two people, either one is right, the other one is wrong, or both of them, they are wrong. So it all marks up to two powers. There's only two powers, and there's only two kingdoms. Two powers, two kingdoms. Listen now. All the rest, the little minor things, are connected with either of one of those powers. Little minor things between husband and wife. Some people can fight because of okra soup. Two powers. Okra soup. I don't like okra soup. Oh, manage it now. Fight! Two power. The minor things, the little minor things are connected to either of these powers. Because one wants to be what? Superior. He wants to show his muscles. A man's muscle is not shown in the ability to raise your voice. Let it be louder than that of your wife. So I'll show you that I'm the man. The whole house with the roof will be shaking. And you have the opportunity to shout at that. Doesn't mean you are right. The minor things are connected. So these two spirits is what we are trailing. Two spirits. Don't think I've deviated from myself. I've not deviated. Don't help us. And those power is God's power. And what? Satan. Every war, every disorder, everything that comes along is either controlled by God's power or Satan's power. Because that's the only two powers there is. Pilate told our Lord, don't you know I have the power? I said, no. Mm-mm. Because Pilate thought he was a power.
You know, when people are in authority, they think, you don't know I can do and not do. You are influenced by somebody. He was saying so many other things. Jesus didn't reply. But when he said, don't you know I have the power? No, because you know what? He has entered into the domain of God. Jesus stopped him.
No, sir. By no means. You have no power.
Except it's been given to you from above.
You have no power. So you have no power.
Say, so don't you know that I'm the HOD of this department? I can sack you out the power. With power. With power. Pride. With power. The reason why people fight even in churches is because of power. The reason why Lucifer was fighting was because of power. To get control. He said, don't you know I have the power? He said, you have no power. Because you are a pilot, because you are in this position, you just think you now have power to do and to what? Undo. People in presidency, they are influenced by power. Rabbi says, either the power of God or the power of what? Satan. And let me tell you, Satan is the one enthroned in all nations. So don't be killing yourself with, I am an obedient, I am an. I'm in Milokon or wherever. Brother, our kingdom is from up. Yes, some people don't like that. But brother, politics is of the devil. You will see people will argue and argue and argue PDP and APC. Argue until brother will have ill feelings for one another. For arguing who is better, there's cheat. It's just a little demon and big demon among them. What we are just praying for is God, give us a good atmosphere to gather like this and serve you. If there's crisis in the land, we can't serve God like this. That's what we are praying for. And pray for the leaders. Our own kingdom is going to descend one of these days. It's not this kingdom. What is this one a kingdom? Is this one a place? See, when you put your heart in Nigeria or in any country whatsoever, you are doomed. See, U.S. and this Western world, they have their own too. You see some of this nonsense they do in Nigeria, they call it prank in the public space. You will prank somebody until it will almost fall into hypertension. You try it outside dead. Fellow will pull out a gun and blow your head. You think it's better too? Amen? They all have their bad part and their good part. However, this place is not our world. We are going to heaven. Praise God in two powers. And that's what is ruling in man, in the individual. We are going to narrow these two powers to the individual as we go on. Now, Satan's original agenda. I was reading a quote on the Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, let's take 5, 4, 6. Now, the big fancy intellectual denomination are doing the very same thing, gathering themselves together to do the same thing. They are gathering and denominating themselves. Each one trying to beat the other one. Are you seeing in that competition of who has the biggest auditorium? Who can build the biggest auditorium? And the man that cannot force into the scene of covetousness and envy and jealousy. And begin to pursue after that one. The other one built 30,000 cathedrals. A cathedral that can seat 30,000. Oh, you want to beat it. You want to beat it. And now they got so much splendor, they don't know what to do but to unite it with the Catholic Church. Lucifer again, building a bigger kingdom to push out the people that don't believe in denominations. And they will take their church building and make storerooms. And the pastor of such has no right at all. What do you think Lucifer is doing? He's the one pushing the people, hunting for you and I that don't believe in denomination. Oh man, praise God. Rabbi says, over here, and a man that is God sent man will never stay in a denomination after hearing this or seeing it. If he's got enough to go out and look at it, certainly. I don't say that critically. I said that truthfully, see, to see that revealed. Notice, in the last days, Lucifer is doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh my, can you see it? The devil doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church. Hybrid by members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual men instead of born again men. Building an intellectual kingdom that we are shine Christ's little bitty flock. See, what is it that did that? Falling angels. So the same thing they did up, they have brought it on earth. Romans said the battle of angels became the battle of men. That is why there are battles here and there. Covetousness here and there. Why is Satan doing that? He is the prince of the powers of this world. He told Jesus, he said, if you can bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. He said, they are mine. Jesus didn't argue with him when he said they are mine. He said, I will give you all this. And Jesus told him, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Only the Lord your God you shall what? Worship. Now, his very intention, he has not repented of it. And it's a very dangerous thing to see a man in church, to see a woman in church that has a long-lasting bad intentions. Rabbi said, mark those that cause disorderliness. Mark them. See, when that man has not been born again, that woman has not been born again, it will do more damage. Listen to me. Brothers, he may be growing old. It doesn't mean that he's converted. What happened is you were able to master that nature by age. You see, people that will tell you, you are bigger than this now. You are bigger than this doesn't mean you are converted. You only grew by age to be able to master it. It's not, don't mistake it for conversion. Oh man, don't mistake it for what? Conversion. When somebody has a nature, it will only wait until a true time to manifest. And when the manifestation comes, you say, what? See, manifestation is the best interpretation. No, sure, brother. I don't care how good you look facially. I want to see what you do with this word. When the word is placed before you, I want to see what you do with this word. People will tell you, I don't care what the prophet said. This is how I want to do it. Listen, God told Moses, when he showed Moses the vision of heaven about the holiest of holies and everything, he said, you must build the tabernacle according to the pattern that I showed to you in heaven. So the two bears sitting on the mercy seat and all that, Moses did it exactly the way he saw what was done in heaven. And you are telling us you want to do it your own way. By what authority? By what power? By what authority? Because you are not an authority. You are not a power. It's a power or an authority that is influencing you to do that. So by what authority? We do things by authority. We do things by powers. That's when the minister is to bless you, you say, by the power. Is that right? Vested on me by the seven angel messenger, of which I also am one of the fivefold. He's telling you by what authority is blessing you. Because you must do it by an authority. Hallelujah. They came to Jesus one time and said, the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew that. They studied the scriptures. They know. Nicodemus said, we know. Is that right? We know that that is a man sent from God. That if God is not with you, you can't do these things. We know. But why did he not accept it? Envy. Are we there, church? Follow me. Envy. That's why they didn't accept him. And one day they came to him and said, people that know, they know. They knew by what authority. They said, we want to ask you, by what authority do you do this thing? Because they know that no man can do such a thing or anything without an authority backing him. When you see a little boy come to face an elderly man, talk to him anyhow. The elderly person will first of all wonder, as small as this boy, somebody must be backing, somebody must be behind this thing. Because it's not natural for a young man like this to come and face you and talk to you in here. Naturally, you know you have respect for an elder. But this face is talking, you want to know. Say, you will not be looking at the boy, you want to trace. By what authority? You want to know the authority behind. Because certain things cannot be done without an authority. And he came to Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? Jesus said, you want to tell them the authority. He actually told them in another way. He said, well, I will ask you a question. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or from men? He's answering them. He's already answering them by what authority? The Bible said they took themselves and went to reason among themselves. Is that right? The Baptist said, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reason with themselves. You see, when people want to become crook and insincere, Brother Jones, come. Brother Sheikh, come. Let's reason among ourselves. We must be careful the way we answer this man. No, let's reason. This man. Is that right? They reason with themselves. And say, okay, if we say from heaven. No. Give me that first side. If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did he not then believe him? But if we say of men, we cannot say the baptism of John is from men. No. Everybody know John. No. We fear the people, for all hold John as what? No. We cannot just come and say no. So if we say from God, John baptized him. Are you there, church? So if John is the one that baptized him, that authority is from God. And if we say from men, no. Okay, you know what we'll do? Let's use diplomacy. Many diplomacy. Hallelujah. Let's be diplomatic. This thing, we have to use wisdom. Everybody, wisdom. When they are lying. You know what you are saying? You are lying. Say, it's just wisdom. It's diplomacy. And they answer Jesus and said, we don't know. We cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither you think you are wise. Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You go and find answers. Why? It takes an authority to do certain things. So you are not neutral. A spirit possess. Amen and amen. I want us to read the scripture, Numbers chapter 22. I just want to take it anywhere. We stop. Save a little time. Numbers 22. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And we connect Numbers 22 with Constantine. To see how a man wants to build a kingdom for himself and wants to be worshipped. And see how the covetousness of Balaam. Oh, are you tired, church? Amen. To see how the covetousness of Balaam led the children of Israel to worship an idol. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It must connect. Let's read. Oh my. Numbers chapter 22. You got it. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Next verse. Alright? I'm not said unto the elders of Midian. Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Boa, to Petor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come not therefore, I pray thee, cause me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Cause me these people. They are mighty people. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. Listen, what was the intention? The intention was to curse them so that he can fight them and prevail. Now, so in order for him to be able to fight them, in order for him to have victory, he needed somebody powerful. Somebody powerful than him to weaken them. Oh my. When people want to do certain things, they'll go to somebody. That is exactly what happened to Constantine. But Abraham said Constantine wanted a great kingdom. We're going to read the quote. So he invited the people together. And we're going to see, Professor, what Balaam did was exactly what Constantine did at Nicene Council. Hallelujah. And brought idolatry into Christianity. That's why denominations are not worshipping God, they are worshipping Satan. Because it is what? What brought them together was the titles of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that what Balak presented to Balaam was what Constantine presented to the Roman church there. Hallelujah! Let's go on. So, he wanted to weaken them in order to conquer them. And how a lot of people today, in order to weaken you, don't say derogatory things about you. Don't be wicked, be strong. Don't go and, assume lies from places and say it. Hallelujah! In order to weaken you, to weaken your enthusiasm for God. To weaken your work. To weaken your business. Say, don't mind him. Where did he get that money from? Is it not a fraud he's doing? So when you hear it, it weakens you. Listen. Brother said, anything that torments is a devil. You don't understand. Anything that torments, you are tormenting that brother. Brother Brown went to a sea one time, and the sea, blue sea, was having waves, was going like that. Cool, though cool, but it was just having waves. And the brother spoke to the prophet. I've forgotten the brother's name now. And the brother said, Brother Brown, look at the sea. He said, this is heaven. Brother Brown said, I beg your pardon. He said, in heaven, there will be no single wave. So, the sea and the wave that is even troubled is a sign of Satan. Because in heaven, heaven is cool and calm. Oh, you don't, oh my. He said, it can't be. However, when you go to a seaside and a beach, you just stand, you just watch the nature. That thing that is roaring like this is a sign of Satan in it. You don't understand. See, do you know why Brother called the Holy Spirit dove? Is that right? He said it's a timid being. Any little noise. It's cool. It's quiet. The intention was to weaken Israel so that he can fight them. So he needed somebody whose prophecy and whose curses are genuine. Because this Balaam, the Bible said, whatsoever he curses, remain cursed. Whatsoever he blesses, remain blessed. So he went to me, Balaam, and said, come and curse these people for me, to weaken them so that I can overcome them. And that I may drive them out of the land, for I would that he whom that blesses is blessed, and he whom that curses is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed. You see, who sent them? Balak. Follow, please. We don't need to read so many codes, but we must get it. When we get one, it will unlock others. Elders of Moab and Midian departed. With what? The rewards of divination. Paying for divination. If you can see a prophecy for me, if you can see dream for me, to show that I will make it in life, go and seek the face of God. If God can speak to you that this contract is going to make, I'm going to make billions, brother, I will give you 3.2 billion. Rewards of what? Divination. In their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Is that right? And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with you? As if he doesn't know. Who are these men? God knows their intention. He knows why. So that's why he addressed them like that. Who are these people? Okay, let's go. The next day. And Balaam said unto God, Balak is explaining. Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent them unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covered the face of the earth. Come now, cost me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Whosoever God has blessed, no man can curse. And we are a blessed people. Satan can never curse us. And even if he curses, the Bible said, the curse shall be curseless. Yes, no curseless curse shall come. Render the curse curseless. Yes, sir. Because we are the people of God. We come from God. And we are going back to God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The next verse. Let's go. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. That should have settled it. And the princess of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. And Balak sent yet another. Is that right? Another set of princes. More and more honorable than they. This time, before he sent local government chairman and counselor, I'm just dramatizing it, please, to go and meet Balaam. When he refused them, then he said, no, I have to send governors and senators. More honorable. And he doubled the reward. More honorable. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus said Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee. Not only more, I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou seest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or what? More. Now therefore, I pray you, if you know that, you shouldn't have gone the second time. You see, people can say sweet things. You see, me, I don't pray for money. But when you see their attitude towards money, they can kill a brother to get that money. Me, I don't care. Even if it is trekking, God said I should trek, I'm okay. But when you see when they are making things to get car, by crook, by hook. I'm not saying those things are wrong, but the way you get it and the intention for getting it. You said you cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. And God has spoken to you. Why go again? If it is not something you have in your heart. So people will come to you, ask you something, you say, no, this is what the word of God says, and this is, they will keep pressing. They'll keep pressing. Actually, I know that is the word, that is what the word of God says, but why not just consider it? Consider what? Are you saying I should compromise? No, I'm not saying you should compromise the word, though. I'm not saying you should bend the word of God. No, 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 I don't believe in a man that can bend the word. But I'm just saying, maybe you should just look. What? Oh, man. Brother! When you meet people like that, you don't know what to do. They will twist your hand to do wrong if you are not firm by the word of God. They will cause a pastor to make mistakes because of sympathy. Don't use sympathy with the word. Say it the way the word said it. Do it the way the word said you do it. It will hurt feelings, but you are not doing it to hurt anybody intentionally. You are doing it because you have a responsibility. Robert said, I have a responsibility to the world. Not to a man. Not to a man. The same people that Moses was trying to rescue. Two Israelites were fighting. Sorry? An Israelite and an Egyptian was fighting. And he came. Said, oh, these people are my people. And he killed the Egyptian. Is that right? Robert said, thinking the Israelite people will appreciate him. We understand. When he saw two Israelites fighting against him, why are you doing this? He said, oh, you want to kill me? Do you kill that Egyptian? What? That is why don't do wrong to please the people. Do anything wrong to please anybody. Do it and say it the way the word said it. Some will like you, some will not like you. The truth is that if you also compromise, some will still like you, some will still not like you. So do what is right. Do what is right. Don't look at anybody's face with sympathy. They are the one that will say to Hosanna today, they will tell you crucify him tomorrow. Amen. He said, tarry that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. He wanted more. But Abraham said, God, you know, God is infinite. He doesn't make mistakes. But Abraham said, he's not now learning to be able to say more. Whatsoever he says is final. Let me see if he will say more. Not to add to his knowledge. Brother, God does not add to his knowledge. His word is settled in heaven forever. And God came unto Balaam at the night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. You needed more. Needed more. But I want to show you some. Let's show ourselves some things in this scripture. He said, if the men come again, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. But a true lover of God, this is a prophet. He was not hearing for it. It was not Satan that was talking to Balaam. It was God talking to Balaam. But God expected him to understand that he doesn't want him to go. I will show you. This same God that told him to go was the one that came again to kill him. Why? He should know better. Brother, at times when I travel, my wife will write me and say, I've laid the children to rest, to sleep. I am here doing this and doing that and doing all that. If the letter passes through your hand, you don't know what the woman is trying to communicate. He said, but me being her husband, I know exactly what she's trying to tell me. Even though that letter passed through your hand. So there are some things that the person may not say, because you understand their nature, you know exactly what they're trying to communicate. Balaam is supposed to understand the nature of God, to know that he can't change his ways. Balaam rose up, but what? What was driving him? Covetousness. For higher reward. A better kingdom, more money, more promotion, greater honor. And that is why a lot of people today, in the name of honor, in the name of riches, in the name of whatsoever, they will go the extra length to even compromise. Because of money. Some, because of American visa, they will marry Oyibo. I call it contract marriage. Contract marriage, the word of God. Is the word of God? Ah, you are looking at me. Say, we just did contamination. What do you mean by contamination? Why? How did you get there in the first place? You got there illegally, passed through sea. And they are looking for you. You are looking for a way to secure. You go on. One sin will lead to another. Nothing wrong in traveling now, but do it the correct way. Do it the correct way. Amen. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went into the prince of with the prince of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. But somebody will say, but it was the one that told him to go. But his anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. And now he was riding upon the ass. Just scroll down a little bit. Let's see where the ass spoke.
All right.
Okay, the next verse. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down on her Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with a staff because he's going out of the right way. He's happy that he wants to go and get reward. And the Lord opened the mouth of the house. I want to show you what covetousness can do. No matter how you want, even as we are preaching now, that spirit, this spirit, the mouth of the ass opened and she said unto Balaam, that is an animal speak in human language. Do you know what it means? When you are passing through your house in the morning and a goat just said, good morning, sir. A goat. You turn. You want to... No, it cannot be this. You'll be looking for... And maybe in your curiosity to find out who really greeted you, he spoke again. My brothers and sisters, what will you do? It's against the natural cause. Brother, you will take on your head. In fact, Usain Bolt can never catch you. But yet, an aspect and the covetousness and the blindness of oh man, of what you will get, of what you will achieve, he replied in anger. And she said unto Balaam, no, come to the other one, from 8. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these 3 times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. You have mocked me. I want to go and make money. You are stopping me. You are mocking me. Yes. How can you mock me? I'm your owner. You do what I ask you to do. Ass. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kid thee. In other words, if not because of this stab, if it was a sword I was having in my hand, I would have cut off your neck for mocking me, for trying to stop me for going to make this money. You are lucky it was not the sword I have in my hand. You are lucky. I would have killed you by now. What? And the ass said unto Balaam, I'm not I than has, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, no. Is he talking? Is he talking? See, we are not saying something that happened in a strange dimension. We are saying something that happened on this earth. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and he saw drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten her? Okay, the next, let's go. And he asked, saw me. Okay, let's leave it there. Let's read the quote. Now, what are we trying to say? We're going to read later on, maybe towards the next chapter. We can see the intention of Balaam was because he wanted money. Covetousness He could not see the danger of even the angel of the Lord standing before him. I will know the story. How he went later on, and when he was trying to curse, what happened? The Bible said, the Lord twisted his tongue. Because the promise is when you curse them, or do something to weaken them. That is the main thing. So that the Lord, so that the children of Moab can destroy them, then I will promote thee. So he must do something by all means to gain that honor, to gain that reward, to gain everything. Until even after this experience of the ass, oh man, a man that wants to be destroyed, no matter how you want them, they will never listen. The experience of the angel and the ass couldn't teach Balaam a lesson. Until he went further to even curse, it was the Lord that twisted his tongue. What a nature that they are in church. No matter how you rebuke them, no matter how you talk to them, the next day they repeat it more and worse. Who is the true image that must have cast this shadow that we call Balaam? Somebody, who is this real image? If the shadow can behave like this, how will the real image be? Real image of disobedience. Real image of rebellion. Real image of stubbornness. How will the real image be? Because it's a type of the things to come. Oh, how would their church? Yes, sir. Stubbornness. You tell them. You want to get married. And you try to tell them this road you are going is a wrong road. Brother, that is when they will tell you and begin to quote the Bible and the message for you. See, the pastor has the right, or any minister, to warn you when you are going on the wrong road. Even with the so-called church member, three kinds of believer in the church. Talk less of what? Unbeliever! These days is to go and marry an unbeliever and begin to bring them to the church. God didn't forgive it in the Old Testament, and he will not forgive it. That's between you and God. But our own responsibility is to preach it. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's between you and God. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's between you and God. But I will preach what God asked me to preach. Tells me to warn the people never to do that again. In the message M&D, he said, when you do that, he said, may God be merciful. And you see that when their eyes will be shining like lamp, and you'll be warning them, young boys, young girls, the way you are going, you are going to ruin your life. They will laugh. Because you have gone to one university as if other people have not gone to university before. People have gone to that same university and came out pure and chaste. You're not the first that will go, you will not be the last that will go. And you go say, well, you people don't understand what we went to university too. We saw the evil too. But God was gracious. The truth is that when you get there, the reason you fell into many of those things, you refuse to tell who, show your identification. I mean your identity. You just blend. It is when you come to church, you become very religious. And when you go there, you wear trousers, you wear nika, you go to nightclubs, you attend different games. Hallelujah. You are one of them. A great mistake. Oh, man. A great mistake. Like Sister Nelly Sanders. Brother said she was a black bottom dancer. She can dance. She and this boy, I've forgotten his name. Remember, said, both of them, they won a lot of awards while they were dancing. All these funny dances that they have in the world, we are bringing them to the church. Hallelujah. You are breaking legs like Michael Jackson. And they use scripture to support it. Let's dance the way David danced. Is that the way David danced? All this breakdance of people's spirits. tell you that it is, that children of God should dance doesn't mean you should dance all kind of dances. Don't dance to become a trap to a son of God in the church. The son of God has tried his best to satisfy his eyes, satisfy his heart in the world and on campus, and come to church and become you become another tool of temptation. We've had enough. We have seen enough outside. We want to be pure in here. We are tattoos. Hallelujah. Oh my, say, brother, what are you talking about? This spirit of rebellion. Oh my. They won't listen. They want to marry each other until they will drive themselves out. A boy and a girl that was raised in the fear of the Lord will go wrong. Nelly Sanders, what happened? After she had given her life to Christ, she made a mistake by going to visit that same place. And she got herself into a few minutes of what? Dancing. When she realized herself, she ran to the prophet's house. And Brother Brown said, I think the brother, one of them, was had been drunk and was lying naked. Brother said, I took the little, maybe the what we call, maybe the best sheet or something, and I covered him. And this person was hitting the door. Hitting the door. Brother Billy, help me, I am gone. I was young in the ministry. And I called her and said, what happened? And she narrated the story. How she went into the wrong crowd. How she went to unite herself with these people. And Baba said, but you were in the wrong place. And Baba said, neither let me pray for you. Baba said, as at this time, my brother that was naked, you see, had sobered up a little bit. So he had come to know that something is happening in the house. Baba said, while I was praying for her, few minutes of dance, few minutes. He said the demon that took over our life took the form of a big bat. Few minutes, many of you, it have been years of dancing to worldly music, and you are thinking you are normal. Legion are piling up. Check their phones. Brother, I'm not joking here. Satan is invading lives. Check their phone. Michael Jackson, Naramali, Mobad Evil Generation, God damn, inside their phones. That they used to do 30 minutes of prelude for night inside their phone. Nelly Sanders, few minutes, the demon that came out was in the form of a big bat. Few minutes. Brother says, the demon left with hairs over her wings. He said, and immediately the demon left. He said, the demon was coming to me. He said, I cover myself with the blood. Is that right? He left. He said, my brother that was drunk. So, see, this is physically, we're not talking about. He said, he was coming to him. He said, I cover him too. Is that right? Thank God for a prophet that was around. Maybe he would have invaded that life. He said, I cover him also. And oh, when he saw that there was no room to invade, then he went to the roof. Baba said, he disappeared. How many years have you been playing worldly music, rock and roll? Oh, mercy. Mercy. Satan invading lives. Satan invading lives. That's how you do it. You are not sincere. Brother, so we must not lose that grain of sincerity. What the life, the very little close, I'm so close, of sincerity, we should not lose it. What are we having? Demons invading lives. May God help us in Jesus' name. Brother Brown said in the message Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think there are different series, but I'm reading from 55:08-06, paragraph 41. 55:08-06. Look at Korah in the Bible. When Israel came up, there was Moab come from the sons of Lot, which was by his daughter. And they had a great place, a great church. And when they come down to curse Israel, why? They build the same kind of altars, pray to the same God, made the same sacrifice, bullock, and they offer the sheep representing the coming of Christ. And fundamentally speaking, everything that Moses was offering down there, Balaam was offering up here. So if God only requires fundamental teaching as intellectual, God could not refuse Balaam's offering. But the reason why did he refuse Balaam and accept Moses is because there was a sign and wonder, the pillar of fire made a difference. God was vindicating. They had divine healing, a brass serpent. They had a smiting rock. They had joy. They had a leading spirit. They had the pillar of fire. They had everything among them, signs and wonders. God proving that he had accepted them. Now, for Balaam to be able to achieve his purpose, then Brother Brown said, he devised a mechanism. We are one. Brother Brown said, he invited them to a party. Amen. After all, you are Moabites. And Moabites are the children of Lot. Or, am I right? From his daughter. That's why God said, we are not one. Marry somebody that believes exactly the way you do does not mean somebody that just put Malachi 4 signboard outside. Some believe different doctrines. Some believe they can believe marry two wives. Wouldn't mention it, brother. You say, oh, I love the brother, but he's from the non-review. What are you doing there? You say you are segregated, brother. I'm a segregationist. On this sense, you marry somebody that believes you can marry two wives, they will marry one on top of you now. You can't do anything. And when you divorce him, we don't believe in divorce. When you leave the house, you will remain single for life. And you will be enjoying the second wife at home. Do you trace what does this person believe before you accept? Because you saw he's driving Cadillac, driving baby car, things of the world, covetousness. The one God has given to you, let it be okay for you. Don't have too much of mine. See, the Bible said it is the Lord that gives us power to make wealth. If God has not given you, you'll be struggling. You mortgage your soul because of this kind of things. Hallelujah. And he devised a method and made them to marry one another. Invited them to this feast. And they dance and dance. The main thing is to weaken them. And when they went into, Brother said in a quote, he said, Balaam knew exactly what to do in order to bring down the wrath of God. You see, and why was he doing that? He wants that honor. He wants the fame. He wants the money. So he made them to commit what? Abominable sin. By going into idolatry. And that is what we call the Baal. The feast of Baal. That was where he gathered them. And Baba said the feast of Baal approximates Nisian council. Oh, hallelujah. And he called them together and said, let's be one. Let's be one. And they started fornicating, started committing adultery. Then the wrath of God came down. Balak achieved his aim. Balaam probably achieved his aim. But it became a bad name in the economy of God. What caused it? Covetousness led the children of Israel into what? Idolatry. Why? Oh, may God help us, church. In everything that we do, let's keep ourselves safe. Keep our children safe. Hallelujah. I'm closing very soon. Don't think yourself to be what you are not. Whatever God has given to you, that is what is for you. If he has given you a Cadillac, beautiful. If he has given you a tortoise car, praise the Lord for it. Don't envy anybody. Hallelujah. Any blessing God has given to anybody, thank God for that person. Be happy with that person. And if God has blessed you, don't try your best to subject other people. Don't be a God. Acts chapter 12 in closing. Don't be a God. When people hate you too much, many times it is church members that kill ministers. This is the apostle of all other apostles. They want to kill you. They just want to kill you. But then they tell you like that, say, oh, glory be to God. We give God all what? Thanks. Acts chapter 12, in closing, we'll continue in the service, evening service. Now about the time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex the vex certain of the church. He deliberately vexed the church. Do something to let them get angry. If you have that kind of a spirit, it's an evil spirit. You just want to do something to make that brother unhappy. You are not happy seeing people happy. Why is he not laughing now? Why is he not laughing now? You are not just happy that the brother is just happy. Where did he see this shirt to buy? I know he doesn't have the money. Somebody must have given him that shirt. We are in deliverance service. Amen. Demons, let the demons fly outside. Just you are not just happy. And he keep James, the brother of John, with a sword. Want to vex the Jews. Or the Jews, the apostles. And because he saw it pleased the Jews. After he killed James, the brother of John. Oh, the Jews said, Baba na Baba. You always do what we like. That is why we like you. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Ah, I didn't know this is the Jews will be happy about it. Let me do another one for them. Amen. He proceeded. Let me kill another one. Because they hate these people called apostles. So I will terminate all of them. Then when he took Peter, the Bible said, then we are the days of what? On living bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The next verse. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, guide yourself, bind on the sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. While they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that led unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. That is what God can do. He can deliver. When somebody thinks with his power, he can suppress you. God is the great deliverer. People, just give them little power. Little power, little power. Brother Brown said one day, I'm still on this scripture. Brother said one day the angel of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord came to me and said, there's a test set for you. He said, I didn't know how the test would come. To cut the story short, he said, I got in a meeting. He said, a girl and a boy were sitting there kissing themselves and all that. He said, and I said, don't do that. If you want to make love to her, take her somewhere, not in the church. It was causing terrible distraction. Baba said, they did this so much, if I continue to preach, they will continue. If I call them, if I put a caution, they will stop. When I continue, they will continue. Baba said, it was so bad until it grieved the Holy Spirit. He said, and the Holy Spirit came to me and said, say anything. Power. Say anything. Baba said, I was confused. What do I say? When the Spirit of the Lord saw that he was confused, Brother Bram said that he came to me and said, if you want them dead. It's in the quotes. He said, you want them blind. Brother said the angel was suggesting different things, but didn't suggest forgiveness. He said, oh, suddenly, the love of God swept my heart. Power. You have the power. But how do you use it? He said, I said to myself, I may not be guilty of this, but I've been guilty too in some other ways. Then I said, I forgive you. He said, the feather, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, arrested their heart, the feather gave their life to Jesus. Brother, so when I got to the room, he said, the angel of the Lord came to me and said, you passed the test. He said he wanted to see what I will do with power in my hand. Today, little power to even become head of the band team here. You want to suppress everybody. Maybe if you were the one that was given that power, hey, on a pulpit like that, you will charge under anointing. Today, you are going to know that I'm the seventh angel messenger. The Elijah of the end time. Oh, you will brag. You will brag. You say, oh, what do I do? You know what? Keep floating on the air for 3 days before I think what to do. Power. Power. That's what Herod was doing. Power. He saw that he pleased the Jews. He said, I will take another one again. Power. I want to show power. Any little thing, you want to show power. Power without character is what? Satanic. That's why be careful before you give power to them. They're not converted, they will use it wrongly. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damn said, just cool down, I'm going somewhere. Just keep going. Where Herod came back. Go. And okay. 19. Let's go to 19. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to what? Death. You know, because this man was committed to them. It should not be heard that a captive ran from the security of soldiers. Their life will go for it. Put them to death and he went down from Judea towards Syria and there abode. The next verse. And Herod was highly displeased. Listen now. In closing. And Herod was highly displeased with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came, he was displeased with them. But they came with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace. Because their country was nourished by the king's country. 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, a certain day came in royal apparel and stood, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. Started talking as he was talking. Motivational attempt. He was talking as he was talking. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God. He said, I will not share my glory with no one. If God has done anything for you, or God uses somebody to do something for you, I appreciate the person real well, but it should not take the position of God in your life. Until you can no longer ask God. You just feel, when I don't have this thing, brother, so and so, I know if I meet him, the person is taking over. Is there anything you put before God is an idol? It doesn't say you should not appreciate anybody, but it shouldn't take the place of God in your heart. It becomes an idol worship. Then get a shout. Ah, no, this cannot be a man. This is the voice of God. This is the voice of God. And then hailing. And they hailing. They were shouting, oh God, this is a God. The next verse. The next verse now. And immediately, what happened? The angel of the Lord smote him. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. So when somebody hear you, that sermon was a powerful sermon. But I've not heard this kind of sermon before. It's a lie. Many times they have heard more than that. They just want to kill you. However, that does not mean you should not appreciate your preacher with a pretty good sermon. And you, it gets into your head. And your shoulder becomes like this. We know you, you used to walk normally before. Suddenly your shoulder has disfigured. It's on top. If the two are not up, one will be down, one will be up. Until you become disfigured like that for life. Pride! Pride! Because he gave God, he gave not God the glory, and he was eating of worms and gave up the ghost. Thou shalt have no other God before me. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads.
Here, Elijah God is here with us today. He's here to we and do whatever we say. Behold, the bride of Christ in full array.
Oh, sure,
he's here. Elijah, God is here.
Let's talk to the Lord. I don't know the way the Lord has spoken to you, and you want to talk back to him. It is time to talk back to him and say, Lord, I don't want this. Your case may not be mentioned. But it doesn't have to be mentioned for you to know that you are guilty of this or not. Let's talk it over with the Lord. God bless you.
while we still have our heads bowed, we have listened to God's word, and we have meditated on it, and we have been given little opportunity to talk back to God. If anyone beside us at the altar would like to be remembered in prayer, just lift up your hand and hold your request in your heart based on the word of God that we have heard as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much this morning, stroke afternoon, for your visitation unto us. Your word is the truth, and nothing can be done against the truth. Lord, when Jesus was here, he said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The great Holy Spirit, who is the Father of all spirits, have spoken unto spirits, Lord, in the course of the service. Different spirits that are not of you, that are rebellious, that are stubborn, and that have wrong motives and intentions. Lord, they have been spoken against. And Father, we know, Lord, that as many as you open their heart, and if any of these spirits, no matter how small, Lord, is traceable to the heart, if those people have opened up their heart, your word will have driven them out. Because the preaching of the gospel is casting out of evil spirits. We thank you for your word that has gone forth. We thank you for what it has accomplished. Master Jesus, where those spirits have left, may they never return back, Heavenly Father. If there be anyone, O God, who is not ready yet, who is not prepared to let go of such a spirit, we only ask for mercy for such, O God. Because it is only you that know the length of our days here on earth. Dear Father, may your grace be upon everyone that will meditate very much on this that we have heard. Lord, we'll think about it and we'll pray about it, that none of these things will be found in our life. Lord Jesus, actually where the Holy Spirit is dwelling, they cannot stay. They can come as trials and whatsoever, but they will not be able to roost there. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will fill as many as are yearning and praying for the Holy Ghost. Lord, because he's the Father of all spirits, you'll be able to send every spirit that is contrary unto the word, packing and away from our hearts. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we pray, O God, that this word will not return void, O God, unto you, but we accomplish, O Father, in the life of each and every one that which it is proposed to achieve, and prosper in the thing we are unto it have been sent. May it do the work of deliverance. May it do the work of healing. May it do the work of, O God, Holy Ghost baptism. May it do the work of, Lord, salvation in the life of the people. Let it be, dear Father. All the kingdoms of darkness, may they remain demolished, O Father. We pray that the power of the Most High God will feed the heart of everyone, Lord. May we be influenced by the Holy Spirit at all times, Lord. Let it be our portion. Lord, you know the request, O God, in the heart of your sons and daughters, those at the altar and the hands that are up. It is for a reason and a purpose. Therefore, that you are the only one that knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, whatsoever the request is, be spiritual, be physical, be it earthwise, be for somebody else, you are God, and God alone, and you know it all things and know it our hearts. And you have told us in your word that whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The request that your people have brought to you this morning, stroke afternoon, that made some to come to the altar, that made some, O God, to raise up their hand. May you grant to each person according to their request in the name of Jesus Christ. Master Jesus, more is still coming in the afternoon stroke evening. By the time we come back, Lord, may we be full of happiness. May we be full of joy. Lord, may we be full of expectation for more blessings. Lord, because if we have allowed this to work in our hearts this morning, definitely bodies will have been lifted. Lord, will have attained, Lord, more victorious ground with you. Let it be there, Father God, that Lord, when your word will come again in the afternoons or evening, it will cleanse us more. It will purge us more. It will take us to higher heights. It will plant more faith, revelation in our heart, O Father. Let it be King of Kings. O Jehovah Master, may this never be vain in the life of any of us, Father. Thank you, dear Father. If there be anyone that is sick in this audience, you sent your word and it healed them. We ask that the enemy, wherever he is hiding in the body of your sons and daughters, may be troubled, may be scattered, may be dismissed in the name of Jesus Christ. May your children be well and healthy to the glory and the honor of your name. Thank you, dear Father. Your servant that you have used to bring your word unto us, oh, Master, we pray you will bless him, Lord. May you recall him, dear Father, for the virtue that has left him. Lift up the honor of his ministry. Grant his desires, dear Father. Lord, refill him afresh, Lord, that when he will come back again in the afternoon, Lord, more of your blessing will pour forth unto us. Thank you, dear Father. Lord, the short time we have to rest and to take physical food and prepare for the next service, may your grace abide with us. May we not frolic, O God, may we make the best use of the time to the best of our ability. Thank you, dear Father. These blessings, may they remain permanent in the life of everyone. Blessed be your wonderful name. We are grateful and we are thankful unto you. By the time we return back by 2 o'clock, O God, may we see more of your glory, Lord. Thank you, Savior Divine. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Alan Brashimolo is around. God bless you, Brashimolo. God bless you, sir. The Lord bless you richly. We are grateful unto the Lord for the blessings of this morning or afternoon service. By 2 o'clock, we are to sit again for the last service of the day. But I want to make an announcement. If anybody knows any of a relation of Brother Philip, we are interested to get the contact. No, he came around this morning. You know, it looks as if each time we see him, he's look worse than before. So, for some reasons, I'm making the request. God bless you richly. Shall we rise? I got a mansion. Let me see if I can get the number now. Mansion over the hit top. All right. Oh, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, but in the sea where the rason we shine. Oh, I want a gold one by silver light. Oh, I've got a mansion just over the hill in that bright land where we will never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wonder.
sat there alone. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city.